Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is very good to have you here with all of us today as we enter this verse in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, the second chapter, verse 24. Genesis 2, verse 24 reads, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And I will bring us back to these words soon. But to begin with, I want to talk about the matter of using questions as a way to learn what the Bible means by what the Bible says. There are, of course, many different ways to learn. A teacher will use certain methods that help students understand the material. Pedagogy. This is the method and practice of teaching. And a good teacher has many pedagogical techniques at his or her disposal. One of these methods is asking good questions. As the student wrestles with the question, the answer becomes more apparent and memorable. This is the method I will use in teaching Genesis 2, 24. We're going to unearth certain questions and discuss them as we move through just this one verse of the scripture. As we do this, I'll tell you up front that I have hoped that I could do this with you face-to-face, in person, such as in a living room with a pot of coffee or tea, and some cookies, cakes, a homemade treat of some sort. You with your coffee or tea, and me with mine. We'll share some sweet things. I do not have a classroom in mind, and that seems too formal, academic, and too cold. I favor the warmth of dialogue in cozy, large, consuming chairs in a circle, as each of us talks about the Bible in this question and answer approach to learning. It is time to activate the imagination, since you are there and I am here, and it is not possible for us to be together in those chairs and around that circle, today anyway. And the very first question I have when I read these words in Genesis is, why here? Why has God said this right here? God has created the first man. His name is Adam. God has created the first woman. Her name is Eve. Earlier verses in Genesis 2 tell us that God brought the woman to the man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Then, immediately after the man says this, we get this statement about marriage. My question is, why? Well, we know this is about marriage, and we know this is about the marriage of the man Adam to the woman Eve because of what we read in the very next verse, Genesis 2, 25. Let me read it. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." The man and his wife. The statement on marriage in our verse 24 is applied to the marriage of Adam and Eve. My question is, why, as soon as the woman is brought to the man, must they be married? Why could they not have first just been friends, two people, spending their days and nights together in this beautiful, perfect garden God had made in the broader land called Eden? Two companions, two associates, two people on a journey together, exploring all that the Lord God had made for their enjoyment. Marriage seems to quickly intrude on the scene, if you want my opinion. Not only that, but this statement on marriage appears very early in the book of Genesis, which then makes it appear very early on in the pages of the entire Bible. The Bible has 1,189 chapters, and in only the second of those, God speaks to us about marriage. Does this not strike you as early, and does that not make you think this is intentional and therefore very important? It does for me. And of course this is intentional. Everything God does, everything God says is intentional. We're going to wrestle with why this statement is here beginning tomorrow, but before that, there is a second question. It is minor. The first one is major, and this next one is minor. And we will not major on the minor. Think of this as a question asked in parentheses. I do think it is valuable to cover. The answer to this question has implications, but we will not spend long on it. Here's the question. Who said what we read in verse 24? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Who says? Did God say this? Did Adam say this? Or did the writer of Genesis, Moses, say this? Now, of course, God said it in the sense that everything in the Bible is communicated to us ultimately from God. That's why we call the Bible the Word of God. But are these words a direct quote out of the mouth of God? No. This is not a thus saith the Lord. There are no quotation marks here. This is not then God said. So that leaves us with two options. Did Adam say this or did Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis? And on this, commentators, those who give us insight, for example, into the Hebrew language and many other details in the Bible, commentators have different views. So let me give you the Adam view first. Those who say Adam said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." They say Adam turned here a prophet to make a prophetic statement. He correctly saw the future from the present. The first man was smart enough to name the animals and, say these friends, to intuitively know Eve came from him. I'll quote one commentator, Robert Harbash, who supports the view that Adam said this. Quote, "Adam was of very high mental development. He had a deep and true perception, a gift from his God. It is clear that Adam spoke these words." End quote. So those who agree on this perspective tell us that Adam spoke both verses 23 and 24 of Genesis 2. Let me read all these words that these scholars attribute to the first man. So I'm reading now Genesis 2, 23 and 24. "The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" All of this is attributed to Adam. Here's a profitable exercise. Later on today, pick up your Bible and read these verses and ask yourself, does it seem to me that Adam said all of this? Does that fit with how you read the text? Or, and now we come to our third option, does it seem to you that our narrator, Moses, said these words as part of the revelation that God had given to him? On this third view, Adam only said verse 23. That starts, "The man said." But at verse 24, Moses takes over again and tells us that, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Personally, I side with this third view. I think Moses includes verse 24 as part of the revelation that God had given to him, not as quoting Adam, and not as quoting God's direct words. Moses first shows us what God did in creating the woman and bringing her to the man, and then he quotes Adam's poetic outburst, and then Moses adds the marriage as sacred before God. And this is important in the sense that Moses will not be the only writer of Scripture to say this. What Moses says here first, God repeats through his one and only son, Jesus Christ, and also the Apostle Paul all the way over in the New Testament. We will look at those passages for certain as we proceed. So we have come to Genesis 2, verse 24, wanting to ask some good questions, and here was our second, a kind of minor but valuable one. Who said what we read in verse 24? Under the divine revelation, Moses did. That's my opinion anyway. What say you? As we go around our circle between sips of coffee and tea, what do you say? Who do you think spoke the words that, whomever said it, Moses recorded, and God has preserved for us? The reason I have raised these questions today is because Genesis 2:24 is a key verse, not only in Genesis, but in all of the Bible. Can I urge you to highlight this on your Bible app? Or if you, like me, use a printed and bound Bible, will you take your pencil or pen and underline this? As we will see starting next time, this is not a throwaway line. It is a foundational statement about who we are as men and as women in the light of who God is and who He created us to be. Our time for today soon comes to an end, so let me pray for us. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for Your word to us. You are all wise, and we believe every word of this book, the Bible. We know that the words here are Your words, and they have been written down and preserved for us so that we can know You and Your intentions for us. Spirit of the living God, give us wisdom to understand what is written here. Why is this verse included so early in Your word? What are You thinking? I pray that each day we spend together, we can receive from You knowledge, and that we will always apply that which we learn. Help me, especially me, to correctly interpret and teach this verse. We pray that You will protect us from the evil one, guard us against listening to him and doing what he says. Help us to put on the full armor of God and to be well defended by You in the ungodly days in which we live. Amen. Join me again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.